Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. We have just a fantastic guest for you today, so let's jump into it, shall we? My guest today began his career in finance, spending a year at Lehman Brothers Real Estate Group, before moving on to becoming vice president at Gramercy Capital. What seemed as a career most people would dream of, this became the jumping off point into building a truly impressive business. He is now the co-founder of Convene, commercial real estate's first workplace as a service platform. His unique experience and expertise in real estate acquisitions and finance has helped propel Convene to become a pioneer in their industry. Throughout this, he's been recognized for his business achievements in numerous categories and publications, including Inc. Magazine's 30 Under 30, and he's also been a finalist in Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year 2013, New York. Now, let's hack Ryan Simonetti. Too many email marketing tools get in your way. ConvertKit's email automation tool is simple yet powerful. Here's what their automation tools can do for you. They can create powerful automated funnels. You set up the rules and then you let the app do all the work for you. You always know what's next for your subscriber. And you can customize a subscriber's path based on their actions and send them targeted content to the right people at the right time. And the best part of all of this, you're a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. So you get 1 month absolutely free. Go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/convert right now and start sending targeted content at the right time, every time. Once again, to get your 1 month free, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/convert. Do you want to turn your ideas into pages with the fastest, truly visual editor for WordPress? A good tool for your business should be easy and not take away from your time and energy. Thrive Architect is the visual page builder that is built from the ground up for business and conversion-focused website. So what makes Thrive Architect different? Landing page templates. This is it. No design or coding skills needed. They have 236 beautifully designed and 100% conversion-focused landing page templates. In addition to landing pages, you can create high-converting homepage that you can be proud of, or create sales pages that make you look like a copywriting pro. You can also use Thrive Architect to write beautifully formatted blog posts that get more traffic and shares. The question is, what will you build with Thrive Architect? To find out today, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/thrive. Remember, Thrive Architect is not only a visual editor for WordPress, but it's the only one that is laser-focused on business websites built by DIY entrepreneurs. Go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/thrive. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here today.
Oh, man. It's all my pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So
I'm ready. I'm ready to get hacked.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Ryan, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your success so far?
Be curious and a lifelong learner, and learning not just about business, but also, I think, learning about the journey of self-actualization. I feel the entrepreneurial journey is not just a professional one, but a life one. And I've learned a tremendous amount about myself through that. And I think that that's one thing that has served me well. In particular, as I have had to graduate from being just an entrepreneur to being a CEO and a leader of a much larger organization. And I think if I didn't have that curiosity and that willingness to be self-reflective about myself, I don't think that I'd be in the position I was today, or would I be able to lead the company through the different phases that it's gone through over the last 9 years.
Interesting. I like this. So this sort of journey of self-actualization, I like the way you say that. And so are you saying that it goes beyond entrepreneurship, like that move from being an entrepreneur and creating things to actually being the CEO of a rapidly growing company, that takes sort of a transformation of the self more so than just reading more business books?
Yeah. I mean, if I look what it takes, and it's not to undermine what the value of knowledge is, and I'm a huge reader of business books and blogs, a big fan of podcasts, but the biggest challenge oftentimes for me is in the interpersonal dynamics as a leader and your knowledge and understanding of people, even more so than situations. And part of that journey is also understanding yourself. I think it's really hard to empathize or put yourselves in the shoes of another if you don't really have a good understanding of yourself and your strengths, your weaknesses, what drives you, your insecurities. And I think that, you know, the journey that I've been on and, you know, as a human being is taking these lessons, both professional and personal, and really trying to grow as a person and as a leader.
And this process of growing as a person, as a leader, are you or do you utilize outside sources like maybe mentors or coaches or people that you can look, advisors, I guess you can look up to?
Yeah. You know, success is not an individual effort. You know, it takes a team. And I think that's as really in any facet of life. And I think for me personally, I've gotten a tremendous amount of out of, you know, having an executive coach. I've worked with the same executive coach now for almost 8 years. And that's been an unbelievable relationship. And, you know, the beauty of a great executive coach is it's a very Socratic process. And they just really hold a mirror up in front of you and reflect back to you. And that's been an amazing, you know, process and a journey to be on. And I've gotten so much out of that. You know, in addition to that, I've really leveraged mentors, you know, both formal and informal. And really, you know, I believe that you're a reflection of the company you keep. And I've really made it a conscious effort to surround myself with people that have been where I'm going. And whether that's the new chairman of our board, who is the former CEO of Starwood Hotel Group, or some of our investment partners, you know, those CEOs who have kind of been through the journey that I'm on and can share that wisdom back to me. And that's been incredibly valuable for me. I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today. I don't think I'd be, you know, nearly as successful as I've been if it wasn't for the support and guidance of others.
And as you sort of move forward in your career, push your business forward, are you consciously or even subconsciously sort of looking back and seeing people who are trying to be where you are or have been and trying to pull them along?
Yeah, look, as I continue to progress in my career, it's to me, it's less about individual accolades and really seeing the success of the team, especially the younger members of our team that we've brought into the organization, that we've coached, that we've mentored, and watching them grow. You know, kind of the saying, a high tide rises all ships. And, you know, I think the success that we've had as an organization has really created a tremendous amount of opportunity for people within the organization to kind of be on the same journey that I am, just in a different way. And so, no, that's been hugely rewarding. You know, I'd say, you know, probably the thing I'm most proud of is what I've seen others accomplish themselves.
So you are the CEO, you have been since 2009 of Convene at this point.
Yeah.
And prior to this, if correct me if I'm wrong, but you came from like investment banking, right?
Yeah, I did real estate investing. Actually, I ran an investments team, primarily investing in office buildings and hotels.
So, and you were a VP at Gramercy Capital.
Yes.
So it seems like from Lehman Brothers to there, like you were on like quite the sort of stellar career trajectory out of college, where most people would sort of kill to be in that position. But it seems like you sort of put that aside and decided to go it on your own.
Yeah, look, I say that entrepreneurship is probably part nature and part nurture. My father was a small business entrepreneur. You had a huge influence in my life. He always, even when he had a full-time job, always had a couple side businesses that he was starting. And then, you know, finally, when I was about 9 years old, you know, he bought a business that he still owns to this day. And so I would say that entrepreneurship was probably a little bit in the blood. And it was something that I always aspired to do, was to create something. I like to say that your entrepreneurship is a lot like being an artist, which is you have an idea, you have a canvas, you have a few paintbrushes. Instead of paintbrushes, there are probably a few founding team members, and you get to work. And I think that that's the beauty of being a founder and an entrepreneur, is you're in the ideation and creation business.
So it wasn't sort of, it was something you'd been thinking about, I guess, or it was sort of, it's that
always. Yeah. I mean, you know, I have a great idea every day. I'm probably like a lot of the guests on your show. And it was just a matter of what was the right opportunity and what was that right moment or inflection point in my life where I was ready to jump off the cliff and to do it. And look, you know, I see, you know, we started the business in the middle of the financial crisis, which most people would probably think was crazy. But, you know, for me, I saw that as actually a very low opportunity cost. And I always felt confident, given the trajectory that I had, that if it didn't work out, I always knew I could go be successful doing what I was doing. And it was the right idea at the right moment in time. You know, I like to say that if we started the business 12 months earlier, we wouldn't have survived. If we started it 12 months later, it wouldn't have worked. And there's always a little bit of luck, I think, in these situations. You know, rather be lucky than good sometimes.
There's definitely luck, but you as the entrepreneur, as the creator, have to put yourself in the way of that luck. So it kind of goes hand in hand. Last week, Ryan, at some point last week, you tweeted that there are ideas and there are creators and there are builders. Occasionally you meet this rare entrepreneur that is all three combined. Are you that entrepreneur, or what? Where did this come from? Because I love this quote.
I angel invest a lot, and I'm pretty active in the entrepreneurial community. And I was actually with one of my mentors who is all three. I hope at some point in time I earn the right to be defined as somebody that can do all three. I know the journey that I'm on is to be able to do all three. We went through the ideation phase. We created something. And since then, it's been about building. But I do think there are rare entrepreneurs that are really good at moving through all three of those and are really able to keep up with the different phases of the business. You know, my personal goal has always been to stay ahead of what we're doing. I really wanted to be one of those founders that was able to not just create something, but actually lead that organization as a CEO through all of the different phases of that life cycle. And when I said back to kind of this journey of self-actualization, it's really hard to do that. And the odds are against me in being able to do that, but I'm committed to putting in the work to get there. And, you know, thankfully, because of my executive coach, because of the team of people within Convene that I've surrounded myself with our board and mentors, you know, so far, you know, 9 years in, you know, closing on a Series D in the next couple of weeks, I've been able to be effective and efficient in staying ahead.
I like it. And the, I guess from the beginning with the, that lifelong learner, you do absolutely believe that most people, or if not everyone, could be nurtured into becoming that full three-part sort of entrepreneur.
I believe if you want to do that, and if you believe, one of the beauties about being a founder and an entrepreneur is, you know, to some extent, you're in control of the outcome, and you have to define what success means for you, right? When I define success for myself within the context of Convene, the company, and my role within it, I define success as being able to do all three of those things. For other founders and entrepreneurs, that's not their definition of success, right? They might want to just ideate and create. And at a moment in time, they realize that they don't want to be in the build phase, and they'll bring in another CEO or they'll sell their business. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just what's right for you and what your definition of success for yourself is and what you want that ideal outcome for you to be. Now, since I've said that I want to be able to do all three, there's a certain amount of work that has to go into being able to do that. And that's the effort that I put in every day, because that's what I want to accomplish. And I don't think that everyone has to do that. I think that that's a personal decision.
Fair enough. And yeah, I totally agree that it is sort of, it's there for you if you want to take it, but you have to put in the work. This takes us back to, I mean, 8 or so, 9 years ago, the idea of convening, the ideation phase. How long was it before you acquired your first customers, Ryan? And how did you do that?
Yeah, well, you came up with the idea for Convene back actually in 2008. And the idea was actually really simple. And it gets back to my former life as a real estate professional. investing in office buildings and hotels, you know, I was walking out of a meeting, I remember, with an office landlord. And I realized that the way that office landlords think about delivering a human experience to their tenants is very different than the way that a hotelier, for example, would think about delivering an experience to their customers. And I said, you know, what if you ran an office building or a workplace like a hotel from a design, a human experience perspective? You know, what would technology mean in that environment? And so, you know, we was finally able to launch the business in 2009. You know, we formed our LLC and closed on our funding on October 5th, and we were open for business November 1st. We had our first customer actually even before our launch date on October, I think like 26th or 27th. And so, you know, we had early adoption. I think one of the things that I've realized is product market fit is a really big deal. And we got really lucky that, you know, we pretty much had product market fit from day one with the core product that we brought to market.
And so the first customers were like outbound sales in that sense.
Yeah, outbound sales. We didn't even have a sales team at the time, which was probably pretty crazy. it was us. We started it with three other people. I remember in the early days, my partner and I scrambling eggs in the kitchen. I think our first piece of customer feedback was meeting was okay. Why were the founders bussing my table? and we've got lots of stories like that. Some really amazing and epic ones. But yeah, I mean, our first customers came via outreach. Our first customer was actually Wells Fargo, the bank. I remember that day well. And you know, look, I think everything starts with those first customers, right? Those become your advocates. And thankfully, we've done a great job over the past 9 years, you know, really being empathetic to their needs and focused on designing and delivering solutions that create value for them. You know, that's why we've been able to expand like we have and also evolve the platform into different types of verticals over the past 9 years as well. But no, it's always put those, you got to put the customers first. And in the hospitality business, you actually have to put your employees first. So we do convene team member first, customer a tight number two.
Wow. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but your co-founder, Chris, is the sort of the technical side of the business?
Chris is an ideator and a creator for sure. He's been a serial entrepreneur. Right now, he focuses a lot on our growth initiatives and really trying to create new avenues for us, both with our landlord partners as well as our enterprise clients. He has been instrumental in kicking off our technology platform. We actually acquired a software company last week, and you know, so technology is becoming a bigger part of what we do and what we offer. But it's been an amazing partnership with Chris. We were best of friends since our days at Villanova. You know, we actually won the first ever startup challenge at Villanova back in 2004. So I think it was predestined that at some point we would do something together.
Wow. Okay. So he's okay. So chief development officer is not chief technical officer.
Yeah. He's like our chief growth officer.
Okay, cool. How does that change the way, like, is sales now, I'm sure not done by you guys directly, but is it still an outbound process or have you taken on some sort of inbound content or pay-per-click sort of strategy?
It's the combination of all of those things. The organization now, you will do $80 million in revenue this year. We've got over 400 employees. We're selling at this point, not just a single product, but a couple different products and services at this point in time. So we've built out a pretty dynamic, what I would call kind of sales and marketing machine. And that's everything from brand marketing and product marketing to a real growth marketing infrastructure, which helps drive inbound lead generation. As part of that, we also have a SDR team, which is purely outbound, that's creating funnel and opportunities both for our nurture marketing efforts, but then also for our sales organization. I think last time I checked, we have 35 or so dedicated sales professionals who I'd say are a combination of an outbound team and also supporting inbound lead generation. Stuff that comes from our digital strategy and from from our website and all those sorts of things, but then is also managing the relationships that we have. I'd say our single biggest driver of revenue and success has been repeat and referral. About 60% of our business is recurring with the same customer base. And so as we continue to scale and grow our footprint and broaden the breadth of our service offerings, our existing customers are becoming bigger partners.
Wow. 400 plus team. I had no idea. at this scale. And so as the CEO of this team, growing fast, as somebody who comes up with ideas all the time, I'm sure you don't get your hands right into projects, but let's talk about projects in sort of a broad sense, whether you can take that from, say, the product side or from the sales side or marketing or growth side, whatever you prefer. But how are you sort of, as the CEO or as the company, dealing with ideas for new channels or new product? Like, how are you sort of taking in that information, distilling it, and deciding that these projects are worth yours and your team's, at this point, time, energy, and resources?
Yeah, look, the biggest challenge that we have, and it's a great question, is there is white space all around Convene the company. And the biggest challenge for us is actually focus. Where do we focus our energy and attention? Where do we focus innovation and new product development and service development? Because when there's a lot of white space, you can kind of take your business in a lot of different directions. And I really believe that there's a power in focus. I often say where your focus goes, your energy flows. And it's really important that as a CEO that I'm focusing the team and their energy on the right things to deliver the right outcomes against what our broader vision is, which is really around, you know, fundamentally changing the way that people meet and the way that they work. And, you know, by creating kind of a differentiated workplace experience for them, whether that's in our space or in buildings that we help operate. One of the things that we've done is we've created a culture of innovation, which means that we accept risk-taking and we accept the failure that comes with risk-taking. I think organizations that aren't willing to accept failure will always struggle to innovate. And so that's something that we've brought into our core. We've also created a process around innovation within the company. So we have a chief strategy officer who helps kind of facilitate an innovation-based process within the organization. And what we've done is we've created a structure where ideas can bubble up through the organization, teams can be assigned to those ideas, things can get piloted and fail quickly if they don't work. But if they do have success, there's a way that we can bring those ideas back to the organization, productize them, and then actually have them become a broader part of our business. And I think without that type of structure and framework and a leader that's kind of overseeing and driving that, I don't think we'd be nearly as successful as we have been in launching new products, new services, new technology. And so I give a lot of credit, one, to having a culture of innovation, an acceptance and tolerance and embracing failure. And then third is actually having a true structured process around innovation within the organization that creates some sense of discipline and focus.
So there's white space around the company, meaning that there's market opportunity?
Yeah, just growth opportunities and market opportunities. You'll convene, we're creating a new category and nobody's really done what we've done before. And I think when you're a company that to some extent is either defining a market or creating a category, there's so much opportunity around the organization. And that's both from a vertical integration standpoint, as well as thinking about things horizontally as we build a platform. And so, yeah, I mean, your focus becomes really important when you're in a situation like we are.
But at the same time, you have those, you're not just sort of trying to wedge yourself into a tiny part of a giant market. You have space to grow. It's now your job to find that.
Yeah.
Where your focus goes, your energy flows. I like that.
Yeah. And look, I mean, we're in a massive industry, right? If you think about real estate and let's just say office real estate, it's one of the largest asset classes in the world. It is late to the game of technology. If you think about the companies in the world today that are the most valuable and the most successful, and let's think about companies like Uber and Amazon or Airbnb, they're using technology and technology mindset to disrupt legacy industries. Real estate is one of the oldest industries in the world. And if you think about Convene, who's kind of sitting at the intersection of real estate and physical space, hospitality and services and technology, within an industry like that, that's for the first time going through transformation, you can imagine the amount of opportunities that are just in front of us as an organization. You know, we've got kind of a front row seat to this change that's happening. So it's a fascinating place to be. You know, I don't know if you've had any other, you know, kind of real estate tech or, you know, founders and CEOs on, but it's a space to keep an eye on. You know, I think it'll be one of those sectors where there'll be many a company that becomes successful in this industry, let's say.
Interestingly enough, 434 episodes ago, I had Julian Smith on from Breather, Literally, breather was like, I think, a week old or something at the time. So it's been a long time since I've had somebody on from your space, and it's amazing to see where it's come. So it sounds like, Ryan, like you obviously have a lot to accomplish and a huge amount to still get to, and growth opportunities for the company and within the industry. But this brings us to an interesting place and this final question that I would like to wrap up with you on. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So I realize 100% that you have this huge place and you're probably looking forward. And looking forward is where we need to be. That's where the growth comes from. Yet sometimes it feels like no matter what we accomplish, that we always project our personal successes or our business successes into the future. Meaning in 6 months when you hit that next metric, or in 3 months when you get to stand on that stage, whatever it happens to be. But for right now, for the next couple of minutes, Ryan, if we could stop looking forward, and if you could stop and turn around and look behind you, I mean, you've had a pretty brilliant career up till this point, especially from seeing your dad starting businesses all the way through college, finance, and now to here. But with the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses, can you just tell me how you feel about this journey up until this point?
If you could see me right now, I have a huge smile on my face. This has been a journey of a lifetime, and I feel so blessed to be in the seat that I am, to have worked with the people that I've had a chance to work with. The beauty of business is it's the greatest team sport in the world. There's nothing you accomplish alone. And, when I look back over the past 9 years and I see all of the faces, it gives me a tremendous amount of joy and pride to see what we've accomplished together, to see the culture that we've built as an organization, to see the impact that we're having on our clients and in the people that have worked for us, really changing lives and creating opportunities for them that didn't exist before. And I couldn't be happier. I feel blessed to get to do what I love every day. And that's something that my dad talked a lot about, was if you do anything in life, find your passion. And it just so happens that mine is building and running companies. So the smile is big. The excitement is, I'm also excited about what's next. I think one of the big challenges that I have, and I think, every CEO and entrepreneur I talk to has, is exactly what you said, which is, how do you stay in the moment, yet also at the same time, stay focused on where you're going? Because as a leader, we often get tasked with driving us to the next place. But no, it's a great question. I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time to reflect and smile and enjoy it, because it's been an epic run for sure.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. We've talked about Convene throughout this conversation, Ryan. Could you now specifically tell the listeners who it's for and what it can do for them?
Yeah. So at Convene, we've set out to really change the way that people and companies both meet and work. And we do that by partnering with the largest landlords in the world to design and operate premium meeting and event spaces, flexible workspaces, hospitality, amenities, all powered by our proprietary technology platform. And we take care of everything for our clients, including designing beautiful places that inspire them so that they can focus on what's most important, which is growing their businesses and taking care of their people. Because at the end of the day, people make businesses, not the other way around.
Well said. Well said. Convene.com is the website, and Ryan is also on Twitter, RW Simonetti. You can track him down there. I'll link to both those in the show notes for you so that they'll be there when you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing at this very moment. Ryan, thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time to share so openly and honestly with me. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and looking forward to listening to a bunch more of your podcasts as well. You do an amazing job, and on behalf of all the entrepreneurs, thank you.
All right. Well, I really, really enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. The great business, great story, and I just like the way Ryan thinks and sort of, I guess, his mindset around entrepreneurship. Yet, as much fun as I had during the conversation, I'm looking forward to this point. The point where we go back through the conversation, and we find that one thing that Ryan said. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
one of the beauties about being a founder and an entrepreneur is, you know, to some extent you're in control of the outcome and you have to define what success means for you.
And that's the hack. Ryan. I love this. This does not get talked about enough in our space on this show in general. This idea of one of the beauties of being a founder, being an entrepreneur, is that you get to, in terms, obviously there's external forces that do come into play, but you do get to define what success means to you. What success means to Ryan is different than what success means to me. What success means to me is probably different than what success means to you. All right, so we preface this conversation with this idea of some of us are idea people. Some of us are creators. Some of us are builders, right? So the idea people, they love that sort of inception of the idea to getting it going. Creators create it into that startup sort of phase, but don't really want to build it past 50 employees or something. And then beyond that are builders, people who want to take it from that startup phase and want to build it into some sort of massive company or some sort of legacy company. And it doesn't matter if you are one or the other. It doesn't matter which one you are. That's not the point here. The point is that you need to define that before you start. And just because you hear Ryan building a company and being the builder at this stage doesn't mean that that's what you need to do. And if you feel that that's not what you want to do, then run with it. Be cool with that's what it is. And yes, he did preface it with, and the idea that this came from the fact that some entrepreneurs are sort of all three of those put together, but it's very rare. And it's also totally fine that it's really rare because we don't need to be all those people. People find absolute, true, amazing success within any of those three categories, and you can do the same. But leading into it, if you don't define that for yourself, it's pretty near impossible to get there to get to that point of success if you don't know where it is you're heading. Ryan, thank you so very much. All right, that was a lot of fun. Here's the time where I'm going to ask you to please go to iTunes, go to Spotify, go to iHeartRadio, wherever it is you're listening at this very moment, and leave a rating and a review for this show. Seriously, it helps so damn much, and it will take you, if it takes you 4 minutes, you're doing it wrong. It should take 2 to 3 minutes. You're not doing it wrong, but you know what I mean. It's quick, it's easy, and it does help an absolutely amazing amount. So please, please do that. Then, if you wish, head over to hacktheentrepreneur.com. That's the website. I'll get Ryan's show notes up there for you with links to everything we talked about today, as well as Convene and Ryan on some social media I'll track down as well. Besides that, it's been an absolute blast. I appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.